This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In the meantime, let's take a look at the international front this morning, because talks to end a three-week strike at General Motors stalled on Sunday on the back of the union's request for more investment in U.S. factories, which has slowed progress made in recent days on other key issues. They've made progress on agreeing on healthcare, which remained mostly untouched from the current plan, as well as how to give temporary workers a path to full-time employment, which is, I think, one of the biggest issues outstanding.
Yeah, progress towards a deal broke down over investments, of course, in US plants. Now, GM has offered to build its electric trucks in the plant domestically, but there is no promise for other idle or underused plants in other parts of the US. And now, according to Bloomberg sources, the union wants GM to allocate new work for those factories, even if it means bringing back assembly from a plant in Mexico.
Yeah, so it's actually quite bad. A lot of people in the international press are talking about how this might trigger a U.S. manufacturing recession. I mean, GM is the biggest car maker in America. It is one of the biggest in the world. And this is a 21-day strike already. It's going to enter the fourth week. And this is basically the longest at the company since 1970. It's bad. It's really, really bad.
It's costing them a bomb.
$1 billion in losses so far. It's a lot of money.
$82 million of potential profit in North America every day of the strike. So the pressure obviously has been increasing on all sides. And the issues are surprisingly complex. So this includes corruption investigations of union leaders that are currently underway, as well as the move from traditional engines in favour of electric ones. Because, as we know, electric vehicles generally take a lot less to produce than traditional vehicles. And that is one of the sticking points when it comes to the unions, because obviously they want to keep their jobs.
Yeah, but this is also against a backdrop of the company actually doing better than expected. They're one of the better auto players in the US. Remember, Ford just had a downgrade in terms of its bonds. Now, the question is, GM is, of course, wants to keep its piggy bank full, because we all know electric cars requires a high number of capex. So there's this big debate whether, you know, they should pay their workers more. At the same time, GM has also been pursuing this move towards hiring what they call temporary workers or contract workers versus full-time employers, which generally cost much more money, because you have to give them fixed benefits and salaries.
And of course, what I understand, some of the strikes really center on product commitments between UAW and General Motors. And what is happening is essentially that because of the people that are at stake, I think something like $400 million of wages have actually been taken out of the equation where the American growth machine has been concerned. So it's not good.
And particularly since talks broke down over the weekend, you have to wonder how long these strikes indeed will continue over at General Motors. But speaking of jobs and job security, also this morning, we had some news that HSBC is planning to cut up to 10,000 jobs as they look to reduce costs across the banking group. And this was reported by the Financial Times over the weekend.
Now, this plan represents the bank's most ambitious attempt in years to cut costs. It said that cuts will focus mainly on high-paid roles. Now, HSBC could announce the beginning of this cost-cutting drive and job cuts when it reports its third quarter results later this month.
Yeah, so HSBC have actually this scheme ongoing called Project Oak, and you know how big oak trees are, and how they fall when they're yelled timber at. Do you know what I mean, right? So, I mean,
I don't think it necessarily, you just yell timber at it and the tree just spontaneously falls down.
But, no, you've got to have someone like Thor, you know, using his axe to cut it down. But, HSBC is not the only one, right? Barclays is in trouble, Deutsche is in trouble, and in various levels, Barclays, Soggen, Citi, they've all announced redundancies. And basically, it's their high cost base, because in the absence of deals and trade flows, highly paid investment bankers will not have the job and they can't make the rain like they used to.
And HSBC is in a particularly more vulnerable spot, because if you look at where their growth is, it's mainly in Asia, right? They may be listed in UK, they're originally a UK bank, but very much their operations resides in Asia and also whatever's growth is coming from China. So as a result of this recent trade war between US and China, that hasn't helped. And of course, the ongoing tensions in Hong Kong has also meant that domestic consumption in Hong Kong has slowed down. There's much less corporate activity, and there will also be far less M&A deals in China and Hong Kong for this juncture.
And not to mention that within HSBC itself, it's not quite been all hunky-dory, because Noel Quinn became interim CEO in August after the bank announced the surprise departure of the previous CEO, John Flint, because they said that they needed a change at the top. And Reuters reported in August that Flint's exit was a result of differences of opinion with Chairman Mark Tucker over topics including approaches to cutting expenses. And the reported job cuts came after the lender said that it would be laying off about 4,000 people this year amid a gloomier business outlook.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually a customer of HSBC, and sometimes I'm quite stymied. How much documentation, how much paperwork they send my way, and this for my what used to be my UK account. So then I'm wondering, how much is it, you know, cost to have this much interaction with a customer who have such little transactions, A, and B, so little money in their account?
It doesn't matter how much money you have, Chuang. It's part of this new compliance cost, right, because of your KYC and anti-money laundering.
Perhaps.
So there's a lot more regulation enforced in terms of knowing your customer, and hence all that paperwork coming towards you, even if you have only a pound in the account.
Yeah, and it's a lot of money. So I can completely understand why Project Oak actually generated the kind of headlines, adverse headlines that they used to generate.
Well, not very bright days ahead for HSBC, it would seem. But right now we are heading into a few messages, and after that, more local stories for you. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.